Welcome to the Business with Beers podcast. This is the place where we help entrepreneurs expand their business, build their wealth, and generate passive income. I'm your host, Brian Beers, an entrepreneur who's on a mission to inspire growth from everyone around me. Remember that you need to take the actions others won't, and you can live the life that others don't. Please be sure to check out my weekly newsletter that now drops every Thursday. It includes one quote, one tweet, one podcast recommendation, plus some business and investing insight from me. It's short and it's sweet. My goal is to provide you with just a couple gold nuggets to help inspire your growth. Go to brianbeers.com to subscribe. Hello, everyone. I'm excited today to bring you Scott Hullman. Scott is an entrepreneur, a coach, and the best-selling author of a book called The 7 Success Drivers to Hypergrowth, How America's Fastest-Growing Entrepreneurial Companies Can Achieve Greatness. Anyway, welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you, Brian. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So you got, you know, quite the resume here of experience working with Tony Robbins and a number of other, you know, famous, you know, business legends. But before we get into all that, can you give us an idea of your backstory? Kind of maybe from the time you graduated high school, if you want to go back that far, or at least your first kind of business success, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's an interesting story because I grew up in a family. My parents were divorced when I was 12 or 13. I started working full time every summer because we didn't have any money, and you know, so just to basically help out with things. And so the thought of college back then was just not even, you know, conceivable. It's not like it is today. And so I ended up going and working in construction. Then I ultimately went to junior college. And lo and behold, I started getting really good grades. And I didn't know I was smart. I kept getting grades. And I had a professor take me under his wing that was a USC grad and got me a full ride scholarship to USC. And I ended up going through the entrepreneurial program as part of the business school there. And I guess that launched me into being destined to be an entrepreneur. And then during that time frame, I created this business plan on a company that would go out and outsource the processing of medical records for hospitals. And so I created the plan. I went to a hospital. I was able to talk somebody into letting me take that over for them. And then we ended up over 8 years to have one in every 9 hospitals in the United States under long-term contract. And so I was in it. You know, I remember starting with, you know, no money. Nobody I knew that had any money. And then you learned about this thing called cash flow and profitability. And, you know, so I'd read the book, The E-Myth, by Michael Gerber, and I started applying it to my business more out of desperation than anything else, because I had to eke out every dollar and optimize everything in the business in order to be able to pay the bills and continue to scale. You know, that company hit Inc. Magazine's 59th fastest growing privately held company in America. We needed systems because we had 650 technicians out at hospitals. So we couldn't see what they were doing. You know, we couldn't monitor what they were doing. Remember, there's no iPhone. There's no way to really monitor them. And so that's what launched me into what I do today, really focusing on, you know, optimization and maximization of businesses.
Okay. All right. So what year was that time frame for building that medical records company?
I built it and then sold it in 91, 92.
Okay. What'd you sell it for?
I sold it for a significant amount of money.
Okay. Good. That's the goal, right?
I'll share a story with it's painful. So one of the divisions we have now is called Big Payday, where we help businesses to prep for sale in advance of even considering selling, so they maximize the valuation. I will tell you that it resold about 6 years later for 15 times what I sold it for.
Oh my God.
And it basically the same company. And so, you know, I was young. I was 29 years old. I had no mentor. You know, it made all the mistakes that I'll teach businesses not to make, including, you know, only getting 65 or 70% of the money that was promised to me. So,
okay.
The initial learning lesson. Yeah.
So what were some of the big learnings, or how did that, like, in terms of change your kind of career? What did you learn from that?
I learned, first of all, the importance of systemization. You know, we had systems and metrics and reports way before they were even common terms. And so that, I believe, is absolutely critical to have, you know, in a business. And I think the other thing was culture. And I always thought culture was BS. But when I in my book, and I interviewed, you know, 12 entrepreneurs that have been on the Inc. 500 list three times or more, so sustained growth. And they all started talking about culture. And I was amazed. I thought, well, we actually had culture. You know, we had a way of doing things. People did things for the company, and people were committed to the hospitals as clients, and committed to each other. And so I think, you know, investing in culture and making, you know, your environment a great place to work, and a learning environment, and creating constant growth for people within the company, is one of the biggest takeaways I had from that business.
Okay. So then what happened next? I mean, kind of fast forward, I guess you start working with Tony Robbins. Like, how did that relationship start?
So yeah. So before that, I sold my business, sold that medical records business, and decided, you know, anything I touch turns to gold, and I'm the stud, and
you're starting 30 business. Years old, right?
Yeah.
29.
Building businesses is easy. And, I went into real estate, and, I just got creamed. I built homes. The recession came. It was just a nightmare. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden you're feeling that imposter syndrome sort of kicking in, you know. And so I did several things and kind of burnt through a lot of the money, and made a lot of mistakes along the way, again, that I now share with people. And in 99-2000, I started another company in the IT consulting arena. The internet was just really taking hold. Yep. And it was called One Inc. And we basically took and combined call center with CRM, with marketing automation. And the whole goal was to create one common view of the customer, which is interesting because even today, it's not really fully there. You know, the call center doesn't really know what's happening out in the sales force, et cetera. But that's what we did. And it was red hot, and it took off. And my co-founder and I raised $77 million from private equity, and built that company up over less than 3-year period of time. We were valued at just under $1 billion with a B. Now it's going public, and 20 days before the market started to turn in 2020. And then we said, we'll take it off the shelf for a little while, and, you know, we'll keep it off the shelf, and we'll keep it off the shelf. And so, you know, we watched this $1 billion valued company, which was never really worth $1 billion, but, you know, kind of just go away. We sold the pieces off. And at that point, I made a distinction. You know, I was working, I would go to work at 8 a.m. at 10 o'clock, I'd pick up my meal 4 nights a week at the same restaurant who'd make me something different. I want my wife to cook. It was just, you know, full crazy, crazy times getting the company ready. And I made that distinction. I'm not going to do that again. I don't want to be in the wardroom anymore. I don't want to do that. I remember, you know, coming home and, you know, my kids didn't know who I was. I mean, exaggerating a little bit, but certainly didn't have a connection. And, yeah, I said, I'm going to coach all my kids' sports teams. I'm going to spend time with them, and I'm going to start a business. So I created a program called The Power of One after spending a lot of time with Jay Abraham and Jay Conrad Levinson, not as clients or friends even back then. They both became that. But and I created this program that said, hey, what if we just focused on one of these proven strategies for growing a business and maximizing profitability? One a month. That's why it was called The Power of One. One a month. You know, you can double a business in a year as far as profitability goes. And I created that program. Jay Abraham endorsed it. It went really, really well. And so him and I did this program called the 4-Star Coaching Program. Still remember to this day. We were going to, it was one of the early days, you know, now where you'll get on these massive webinars, you pay a monthly fee and you get to hear the gurus talk. Well, that's what we thought we would do. We only got 68 people. And Jay said, yeah, I don't want to do it. I said, well, I'll do it. I'll do it, and I'll teach them all this great program I wrote. And that's what I did, and took on 68 clients at once, which was a nightmare, and quickly realized that the out-of-the-box training programs don't work. Right? That was my reality.
Yeah. So it was like a group coaching. They'd all sign on, took a webinar, and you'd kind of go through the PowerPoint slide or whatever it was. Was that the model? Yeah.
It was, but one of my strategies, and there was upselling and cross-selling, so I converted 52 of them to private clients.
Okay, so like one-on-one coaching?
One-on-one coaching. And so they ranged, by the way, from a woman who, her husband died, she had no money, but she wanted to start a business, to a tennis racket company that was larger. And there were, out of the 52, there were, I don't know, 40 different industries or something. You know, so you started saying, okay, well, you start to go to apply a strategy, and they go, no, you understand. We, our industry is different. Our employees are different. Our capital is different. And what I learned, Brian, then was it wasn't enough to give them this. I needed to teach them how do they modify this to their the strategies of their business to be able to implement things and have effective outcomes.
Yeah, that's the key, right? Because you can, it's easy to read a book and go through and try these things, but then you start, you know, we have these limiting beliefs that this doesn't work in my market with my people, with this because of my culture. And then we don't apply this great knowledge, right? Because we don't think of how can we turn this into, you know, something that'll work for us.
I learned a long time ago, you know, it's interesting. So, you know, I've worked or coached companies, you know, in thousands and thousands of companies in over 200 industries. And there's a couple common things I realized is that it's not enough. It's not that they don't know. So if, you know, I'm going to teach them some new strategies. They know we have books, we have programs, we have coaches, right? The knowledge base today is incredible. It's not that they don't know. They don't need to learn more things. They need to learn how to implement within their own environment, right? You know, we teach a concept called the 50% solution, kind of like the 80-20, but I thought when a company to implement something new, if it's hard, if it requires change with their employees, if it requires significant investment, it typically is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to stick. So the 50% solution says, just do it. Not half-assed, but you know, quite honestly, I maybe you could call it the half-assed solution because it's just get it implemented. If it's something that's going to work, get it going, because then that momentum kicks in and then they'll focus on fine-tuning things. But you know, I just think it's that whole thing holds so many businesses back.
So, yeah. So what are some of the strategies then or you teach them? Is that it? Is just, you know, let's just try this, the one thing we're going to try and see what pieces of it can be effective or how did you coach the clients?
So what I became, I guess, known for was profit optimization. And so, you know, if you've been to Business Mastery and you've watched, you know, Tony present the profit optimization component of that, that's content that I created. And I actually delivered for the first several Business Masteries. And basically the concept is that, you know, if we apply it to business growth, for example, we would say, how are you generating leads? And we're going to say, how do you improve the number of leads you're getting by small percentages, right? What can you do? You just break down your marketing sales funnel into small little pieces, and you then look for where the gaps are and where you have the opportunities to make small incremental improvements. And then once they become a customer, client, or patient, you're doing the same thing. How do I get more transactional value ethically? How do I get more referrals? How do I get them to buy more of my products or services? So on and so forth. And so that's what we've done. And I have a whole division that does that. But it's real interesting, Brian. Well, when somebody comes and wants to work, say, with me or with one of my top coaches, nobody ever comes to us for optimization, ever. Right. They come to us because they want CEO coaching and mentoring, or they come to us because they want to sell their business, or they come to us because they've got some other problem, or, you know, and we always say, we know. But when we start, we're just going to do this profit optimization thing. We call it a strategic profit plan. And it's a thing where they fill out this extensive questionnaire. And then we spend 4 hours brainstorming with them to come up with 6 or 7 of these profit optimization things that always cause the eyes to open and go, whoa. I remember being at I was coaching one of the top 8 master franchises for Jiffy Lube, and they flew me back, and there's like 7 or 8 people in the meeting, and I'm doing the profit optimization thing, and we're going to go all day. And it gets to be about 10:30, maybe 10:45. And the CEO stands up, clasps his hands and says, we're done. And I'm thinking, crap, what'd I do? He goes, if we implement the 4 things you've shared so far, our profits will go up X. I don't remember what it was. We don't need to focus on anything more for the next year. You can go home. I didn't have a flight scheduled or anything else. They all kind of left and went to lunch. And my point to telling that story is that people think, oh yeah, profit optimization, I've done that before. Right? It's like marketing. Yeah, we got marketing figured out. We know that's a constant moving process, right? You got to keep changing. Profit optimization is the same thing. And, you know, we teach, there's 4 levels of profit optimization that we teach. It's not just saying we tweaked it and now let's move on and we're done. There's a whole series of things that need to do to make sure you actually get that done. But my belief is if we can first focus on, because when you focus on improving what you're already doing, the lead sources you're already doing, that's relatively easy. Implementing some new product, service, funnel, marketing thing, you know, it's difficult. right? And it's got high risk. And so, you know, I always think, you know, so many entrepreneurs go, I don't have enough money. I can't create freedom. I don't have the right technology, but I can't afford it. I can't afford to hire a marketing agent. So, yes, you can. Just optimize what you're already doing and take that cash like I did growing my medical records business with no money. And now you can implement and you can now afford the things that you need to do versus you trying to figure out how to do them.
Yep. Yeah. That's one of the points I make with our guys a lot is we have, you know, automotive repair shops, right? And guys, you know, they want more cars, they want more traffic. And then they come up with all these, you know, creative ideas, but they were like, oh, we should sponsor this little league team, or, oh, we need to do flyers and we need to like print business cards and go do this or that. But then we look at, like, you know, we can track inbound calls, right? And of how many calls we're getting currently. And then we can look at conversion rates, how many of those people who called came in, you know, with the matchbacks. And then it's like, we're already getting a ton of leads. We just have to get a little bit better on the phones to convert more of these people who are already calling us, right? We don't have to like go hand out big business cards at a carnival or something silly. We just got to get more of these people in. And it's like you said, there's nothing new. It's no magic. We just got to be a little bit sharper, a little bit nicer, have a little bit more sense of urgency, right? All things that within a day of training and listening to some calls and hearing, you know, how we're doing on the phones, we can easily get, you know, 5-10% more of the people calling in, which is, you know, if we can execute right on the sales per car is like a huge impact.
Yeah, and it was interesting to share a Jiffy Lube without going into anything confidential, because it's broad-based, is that with Jiffy Lube, you know, one of the things we did, this may even help you, but they would say people call. And we know if they call and you answer the phone live, your chance of getting them in is dramatically higher than if you got to call them back, you know, 3 or 4 hours later when they just went to Midas, right?
100%. Yeah.
All right. So we started looking at we started tracking with each of their, I forget, they had like 80 locations or something, how many of the calls are answered live. And the variance among the 80 was dramatic. And then, you know, setting up systems for how do you get more of those to answer live. And then, you know, so we went through that whole process for, you know, dramatic breakthroughs, you know, by figuring those things out. And yeah, you understand it clearly, you're in the business.
Yep. And the other thing for us is too, looking at, you know, gross margin, where, you know, these small tweaks and getting improving our margin have like huge impact. So we can double the money we make if we can get these small incremental improvements just at a top line, you know, what we're buying for and what we're reselling it for. And even a couple of weeks ago at a quarterly meeting, we kind of dove into this and compared different markets and different stores. And there's some, just similar to that, there were some eye-opening like differences, you know, 4 or 5 point differences between markets. And it's like, man, if we can get the bottom up to just the middle, I mean, we're huge impacts. And so
yeah, you get it. You know, it's interesting. So it brings up the topic, like right now, as we're recording this right now, we've got, I will argue we have double-digit inflation. It's, you know, if you look at the old standard during Jimmy Carter's era, I think we're at 14 or 15, not 8.5 or 6 or whatever it is. And, you know, I got thinking, probably the vast majority of your listeners have never managed a business through hyperinflation, which is what I call it, right? And so I want you to think about, if they're making a 10% profit margin and their costs go up 10% and they don't modify anything in the business, they don't optimize, they don't change their pricing, it literally wipes out 100% of their profits. And so, you know, right, when they talk about profit optimization, now it's more urgent than it has been in years and years and years. And when I was coaching, you know, I was coaching companies that were coming out of the recession, 2009, 2010, you know, profit optimization was a survival strategy, but now it's back there again. You know, even recession, I think, you know, think about how many businesses out there that are probably your listeners. They never navigated through a recession. They started their business after 2009 or 2010. And so there's this double whammy. Like when I started my first business with no money, worst recession since the Great Depression at the time, it was a double dipper. So we came out of recession, went back in it, and we were double digit inflation. So, you know, and I was just too dumb to know, or too ignorant to know, you're not supposed to start that kind of a business with no experience, but I guess it turned out okay. So, you know, so now, like, you know, this is where we have to, where it's convenient before. I make this statement that, and I don't want anybody to be offended by this, and some people probably will, but it's important to say, which is business has been pretty easy the last 12 or 13 years. We've been in the longest non-recessionary cycle, I think, in the history of America.
Yep.
Look, did COVID impact some businesses massively? Absolutely. And for those businesses, they are certainly the carve out and the exception. But for many businesses, You know, it has just been, they just think, oh, we're making my profit. I'm doing really well. So when it comes to optimization or, you know, doing the things that you're doing and utilizing coaches to help make changes in the business, they just don't need it. We're doing just fine. And I'm telling anybody, you know, out there is that it reminds me again of 2008 is that, you know, you need to be prepared and, you know, you can't just have the inflation hit your business, recession really get a deep hold and then say, now I'm going to start preparing because it's going to be too late.
Yep. And it happens incrementally too. It's not going to be a COVID shutdown situation where all of a sudden there's no business, right? It just gets a little slower each week, each month. And then, you know, before you know it, you know, you're putting cash in to meet payroll and having all these issues. So it's the kind of thing where you got to get ahead of it too and be proactive and not just reactive.
Yeah.
So what are some of your best advice then for someone in the situation who's hasn't really thought about it? How do they go about, you know, optimization, but really it's, you know, surviving or pricing up to get to, you know, keep up with inflation here.
Yeah. So a couple of things I think is a general rule of thumb. The process we take people through is we get them just to write down, what their current marketing sales funnel is right now. And it sounds simple, but a lot of times we'll have somebody say, well, they know how many leads they're getting oftentimes. They may not know where they're getting them from. And then they'll tell you then, you know, our conversion rate when we have an appointment is this. Mm-hmm. But I go, what about all the steps in between? Think about this, right? Somebody comes to, so I'll give an example. So I've got a client who has 9 sleep labs for testing sleep apnea. And he became a client. I was on Tony's stage and at Business Mastery and I spoke and he came running down the hallway as I was going to the bathroom and I need you. I'm helping all these people. We've tested 10,000 people. They really need us, but I'm facing bankruptcy and I'm really, really struggling. And so it took a 4 or 5 months. He finally said, can you help me? And I said, I'll help you. So I took him through the process. We go and fill out the questionnaire and tell me I was generating leads. When they got all their leads from doctor referrals. So somebody goes to a doctor, says you have potential sleep apnea. They send a prescription and they send it out and to him. And then they would wait. Or they would do a phone call out to the people. And if they didn't respond, that was kind of it. So their conversion rate was dismal. And I said, Steve, think about this. Who wants to go into a hospital or a room hooked up to all these wires and sleep all night long in a hospital? It's not something people jump on. So you have no process in place, you know, for maximizing the number of people that come in. And we started looking and saying, well, you got to reach them. You know, it's not just enough for a phone call. You got to go phone call. You got to go do email. You have to do text. You have to have a sequence to motivate them. You have to educate them on why it's important for them to do this, this test and so on and so forth. And then track them. He'd never tracked anything. And so, you know, he said he's on my website, did testimony. I think their sales volume went up 67% in 2 months. Maybe it was 3 months. Just by converting more of those, you know the story, but you know, that's the way that it works. So step number one is what are the steps? Each step you can identify. Like if you say they come to my website and they buy my product, I said, no, they don't. They come to your website. They have to stay on your website, right? Right. Because, you know, if they bounce, you lose them. Yep. So you capture them. Then they have to go and they have to, you know, click on your product page, your service page, and then they got to open it up and learn a bit about that. There's a whole process. By the way, once they put something in a shopping cart, 65%, and it goes up and down monthly, will bail. So like they went to Home Depot, they investigated all the cordless drills, they put it in the shopping cart, they got right up in there, and then they walked out the store.
Yep.
You know? So that's the process where you're going to go, okay, I want to make sure I have those all laid out. And I'll just do that. And then you do the same thing for your existing customers. But in that process, you just say, where are we the weakest? You know, where are we not doing well? Where are we missing the ball? Wow. You know, well, if I were to use your business, we're not answering the phones live. All right. And I go, wow, if you're not answering the phones live and you compare live versus not live, and you say that's a 40 or 50% difference, I've now identified, just work on that power one, just that one thing. Nail that down and then you can move on. So it's that's the process that I recommend for everybody to do. And, you know, I have a really good friend of mine that calls it the boring way to riches.
Awesome. Yes. I mean, you've had a lot of success here in your career. So what motivates you to keep going here?
It's interesting. So when I first started into what I do today, as I mentioned earlier, it was about spending time with my kids and coaching them and having time freedom. And then I realized it was interesting because we only work with successful companies. It doesn't mean that they're knocking it out of the park. It doesn't mean they're large. It just means that if they're a turnaround or they're in trouble, it's not something we do because we're an advisory service. We're not sending people in. And I started realizing, my God, so many of the people we work with that are quote successful that come to us are trapped in their jobs because they work too many hours. They don't have enough. They don't feel like they have enough money to hire that resource, or to create the time freedom. And look, the vast majority of their wealth is wrapped up in a business and they're not doing anything with it. And I started thinking, my God, if we can just show them how to make an extra 10 or 20% out of their business, 30% of their business, it is literally a game changer. And it is. It changes people's lives. And I'm committed all the way down to the rice farmer who, you know, is just barely making ends meet that finds a way to make a little bit more money. It changes their life wherever they're at. And that's inspiring to me to make that difference. I can't imagine ever giving it up. You know, I have other business interests that I do, but I spend about 17 of my personal hours coaching clients to this day. And it's interesting because they're from 15 different industries, ranging from a duck farmer to a woman who creates these little pumpkins and paints them and sells them at Walmart, et cetera, to leading online, you know, companies to, you know, sales training companies and you name it. It's all over the place. So it's fun. It's a fun process, but the problems, the challenges and the opportunities are the same across the board. So I'll never give that up. I don't think until, you know, the day I die, no matter what I do, because it's fulfilling and it's kind of a little bit unfair that I learn as much from them as I teach them.
Yep. That's true. And a lot of their challenges you can help apply and things that they're trying to your other clients, right? So you kind of start to create this network effect too.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Absolutely.
What's your book about? Is it a lot of stuff we talked about, profit optimization, pricing up to inflation? What's it look like?
Yeah. So the book was, it's interesting. The book started off as a marketing thing. Somebody came to me and said, "Hey, just interview a bunch of people in an industry and they'll all want to hire you or your coaches and just plop it in a book and go." So I said, "Well, I've coached and helped multiple Inc. 500 companies and I've had two myself. And so I'm going to do that." Well, like interview number one, I'm interviewing somebody and I'm fascinated and I'm walking through the process with no real end goal in mind, except I'm not doing this, right? I'm not doing this. This is going to be, I'm going to write a real book. And so my goal was, what do they all have in common? And so again, they were 12, it was the cool thing was 12 businesses from 12 different industries, which I love because, you know, you're looking at, you know, a super high tech Amazon, you know, technology company is in the book. A guy was the early stages of creating what we now know as Tempur-Pedic, or it wasn't Tempur-Pedic, but like Casper, okay. Guys. To somebody who's doing digital security, to a guy who makes hot dogs. They're like the 50% of the frozen hot dogs and frozen pre-prepared foods they make. It's a fascinating story. And I thought, what's common? And more I met with them, the more and more commonalities that I came up with. And so that's what it's about. So there's seven success strategies in there. I will share with you, there's actually only six because the seventh one is pay it forward, which is, you know, once you do that, how you can actually impact your community and make a difference with what, you know, you've been blessed with. And that's what it was all about. And it hit Amazon at number one on Amazon Kindle in entrepreneurship and in leadership, which was really, really cool. And so that's what it's about. So I interview them and then I give my pearls of wisdom on that, right? That's what it is.
Can you share your favorite one or maybe your most surprising one?
Well, obviously, you know, optimization's in there. You know, I call it building a systematic machine. But, you know, one of the most important ones, one of the most fascinating ones for all the companies was the secret sauce. It's how I started with. It's a metaphor off of McDonald's secret sauce and their Big Mac. And it's what's my, you know, we call it compelling competitive advantage. Many people might know it as their USP, but what's really different about you? And as you well know, Brian, you know, you don't have to do some radical shift to do it. I mean, think about Starbucks. You know, Starbucks makes coffee. So, you know, so do a lot of other places, right? Starbucks, you know, had a coffee bar. A lot of other places had that as well. They created, you know, among other things, kind of a, I guess you could say their coffee is better than others, depending. Some people like it, some people don't. But they created a cool environment, a place to come socialize. It's a game changer, right? So a lot of times it's not that significant a change. So the secret sauce is important for every business, especially right now, inflation, and you're looking to raising your prices. You have to be, why is somebody going to spend a little bit more money on you in our Amazon culture where you can go on Amazon and talk about transparency, right? Everything looks exactly the same. You have to, you know, so that's one of my favorites. And I shared earlier with you the one about culture, you know, and about team, synergistic team, I call it, because it's not just having a team of the best people, but everybody who's tied in with one another and shares the same visions. You know, and having a kind of a common purpose where they want to do things, they don't come to work, they come to do because they want to make an impact in what they're doing, and grow. And so those are some of the most important, in the book.
Awesome. Cool. I appreciate you coming on and sharing all your kind of wisdom and years of experience, you know, with me and the audience here. Where can people get in contact with you if they want to learn more about your company and the programs you offer?
It's easiest just to go to scotthallman.com and they can go there and check out the resources that we have. And then I created a special page for just your podcast listeners. It'll be scotthallman.com/beers.
So perfect.
I love it, right?
All right, we'll link that up as well.
So I'll put a free copy of my digital copy of my book there for everybody. And then for those that are interested, you know, those are those that get inspired with this whole concept of profit optimization. We have this, I've created this, it's just 6 or 7 minute video that walks you through what we call a profit calculator. So imagine that I talked earlier about they have to identify their steps. So what it does, it takes any business can go in and say they can just put in their steps of the process, helps them think through that. And magically, it calculates if you're doing this much revenue and this much profitability, and you make these small 3% improvements of each of the things you put in on your that are personalized to you, you'll see a 50 to 100% profit increase potential. And hopefully from that, they'll get excited enough and want to learn more. And by the way, real important, we don't see that information. We don't capture that information. It's just it's a tool for you to be able to use to see how this stuff can maybe impact your world and prepare you for the coming economy.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks again. We'll link all that up. And I appreciate you coming on.
All right. That was fun.
All right. Thanks, Scott. That's all we got for this episode with the Business with Beers podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is to rate the show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Also, make sure to link up with me on your preferred social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find all my links at brianbeers.com. Please just share the podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. And until next time, remember to take the actions others won't to live the life that others don't.